Welcome to Office Hours. I'm David Meltzer here at SiriusXM Studios, live in the lobby of the Wynn here in Las Vegas. Blessed to have this perplexing anchorman at the end. You okay, Clinton?
What? Oh, we started?
Yeah, we're starting. And this great co-host, Sharon Lecter, Justice Logan, Clinton Sparks. Thanks for being here. We're blessed to have Double Trouble, and we share so many different philosophies, Justin Guarini and Kim Walsh Phillips, partners in crime, business, and life. But the understanding of celebrity. Obviously, Justin, you have experienced celebrity at the highest level and the biggest show in the world. And Kim, you understand how to utilize celebrity, this authenticity, this expert being, in order to attract the things that you want. Years ago, and welcome to Office Hours, by the way.
Thank you for having us.
Years ago, I created what I called the bug light approach with my celebrities and athletes at Lee Steinberg. I realized that if I used the biggest names and the biggest celebrities, that I could attract the people that I wanted to be associated with, which is things that I took from Sharon Lecter in the power of association. And it's much easier to create this community of association when you have celebrity. You've taken it to a different level with executives and even on LinkedIn. And so you have what is called the fame formula, which I think is very similar to my bug light approach for entrepreneurs. How do you use celebrity in this formula?
I mean, celebrity to me is way different than fame itself. I think both of them are very valuable. And yet when you talk about celebrity, the reason why it has that bug light feel to it is because a celebrity is celebrated. And they're celebrated for their accomplishments. They're celebrated for their story. They're celebrated for whatever it is that...
Can you be a celebration of negative things for those people that are...
Absolutely. Okay. There's many of those celebrities are sitting in a jail cell or are storied sort of the what not to do. However, it really ends up being all about how you leverage your celebrity to actually create the story that people are attracted to.
Yeah. Robert Cialdini in his book Influence said that we follow people based on our DNA that build us trust, right? We're going to follow what other people do based on what other people do. And so leveraging celebrity makes that happen. When Lincoln partnered with Matthew McConaughey, their sales went up 25% in 30 days, simply because they leveraged his celebrity brand. And so sometimes it's about you becoming the celebrity of your market because it makes people feel confident. Like when you get in an Uber and the driver knows where he's going, you feel better than when, I don't know this area, feel uncomfortable. Right. But then other times you can leverage someone else's celebrity by getting on their stage or being interviewed in their book or becoming a mentee of that mentor. So you can build it and you can borrow it, and both work really well when it comes to marketing.
Well, I think you need to earn the right, and you need to have the people that can help you package yourself. And I love your term, current visibility is currency. And it's something that I work with all my clients to basically to get them to earn the right and then find those right powers of association. And one of the biggest things people say to me all the time, I need to get on stages. So you recognize something that needed to be served, all right? The most successful businesses solve problems or serve needs. And I can tell you that's one of the biggest things. I need more stages. So you created the Elite Speakers Network to solve that solution. So tell me how someone gets involved and how you work that particular program.
It's different than wishing and landing on a huge stage in a big audience, which I think most people want it to be like that, but also be like leading a big picture movie the first time you audition for a show. It doesn't work that way. So it's about identifying the events that are filled with your right fit people, building relationships with those audiences over time, developing a thought leadership in that space, and then making a connection to be invited. There's a big industry about filling out applications and pitching, and it really doesn't work. Stages are booked from relationships, so it's about starting relationships today for a stage you want to be on 2 years from now.
Yeah, and I think the flip side of that is also remembering that, yes, you can get on more stages. You might have an amazing resume. You might be an authority. You might have an audience. But what we like to think of as direct response marketing is very much in the same league as Broadway when it comes to, if you don't grab people's attention, you get forgotten, right? Mm-hmm. And so when you can create an experience, do all of that, take all of the experience, the authority, all the things that you have, your product, your message, your service, and surround that with an experience for the audience to make them feel like saying yes, to make them feel like they see themselves in your journey. That is when you take the two worlds that we come from and combine them in a really powerful way.
I love how concise, simple, and direct your answers are when you talk about expertise. It's being able to describe things in a very concise and simple manner, and it makes sense. And these are areas that I work in so often, and it really has compelled me to work with both of you, because I find it very rare in the space of speaking and, you know, the influence side of celebrity, that people can actually articulate value in a very concise way that is logical and also exceeds the expectations of this highly emotional space that people want to be famous, they want to be celebrities, they want to be on big stages, and they end up really just getting ripped off by people because they play on that emotion in book writing, speaking, podcasting throughout the years. And it's why I enjoy not only listening to both of you, but having you in our community to help protect them as well. Justice, I know you're on this. I work with you on this. So you're in this space right now. What are you thinking?
Yeah, this is phenomenal, because I think a lot of people, you know, you guys talk about how current flows where attention goes. And some people say money flows where attention goes. And so we get this generation that just wants to get a bunch of attention. Like, let me just get in front of a camera. Let me just talk. Let me find some way to get attention. And then they're going, well, what am I offering? Like, what value are people like getting from giving me attention? Yeah. So could you speak a little bit to that? Because I think that a lot of people jump on that bandwagon. It's easy to grab your cell phone or grab a device and start creating content. Yeah. But then when they're starting to go, what's the value that I'm actually bringing to the table? That changes their strategy.
Yeah. And, you know, it reminds me of something that Sharon did say about value. And we talked about that value in that very simple sense to me is just the solution to someone else's problem. And if you can clearly uncover that value so that the value of what you have is more valuable than the money, let's just say, in someone else's pocket or the time that someone else has, then that's sales. That's the exchange of value, right? And the solution. And so how we like to encapsulate that is something that we call the content cash machine. It has three very specific variables. It is authority, audience, and sales. Some people have authority. Some people have a huge audience. Other people know how to sell really well. But if you don't actually take all three of those things and make them work in tandem, then you run into much of the problem that a lot of people who think, oh, I can just pick up my cell phone and make content run into.
Yeah, if someone has all the certification and doctorates in the world and no one knows who they are, their business isn't going to grow. Yeah. Or the guy who's like, I could sell ice to an Eskimo, which they shouldn't because they don't need ice. But no one trusts them, their business isn't going to grow. And the biggest influencers in the world with millions of followers, if they never make an offer, their business isn't going to grow. So you need all three of them in order to effectively grow a business.
We live in a world now where people think that fame is the new talent, right? And famous doesn't make you great, but great can make you famous. Let's take you, for example. When you were on the show, you weren't going there like, yeah, I'm about to be cracking out here. I'm about to be famous at all these. You were like, I'm passionate about this thing that I do. Yeah. And I'm trying to show the world how great I am at doing this thing, which then brought fame, which now has you here today. Yeah. Right. So like, but today we live in a world where people think they can be Kai Cenat tomorrow. They can be Gary Vee tomorrow. And they don't look at the 20 years, the 10 years behind that. Everybody has different stories of how they got there, different relationships, different people they knew, different people they blew. Who knows? Right. So everyone's not the same. So what do you say to the people that come to you? It's like, I want to speak. I want to do this. What's the assessment that you guys take? Like, ah, oh, this guy's a cornball. He just wants to be famous. Like, he doesn't got it. He's just trying to be famous.
Cornball.
No, because here's the thing.
It's true.
Most people try to become famous because then I can start selling shit. And everybody falls for it. And now it's starting to crumble. Those people that have been kind of cracking for a while are starting to crumble a little. And some real people are starting to come through. Gary Vee is a perfect example of someone who's always been a real dude. Yeah. You can always trust what he's saying. Mm. He's not a used car salesman selling you crap. But 99% of the people are. So how do you guys, when you put somebody on a stage, I help.
It's interesting because I have both sides of it, because actually I got to work with Justin when he wasn't valuing his audience as much as it is, right? He wasn't.
He was focused on being talented. Great.
He's amazing. Yeah. But I was his coach when he was selling things that were way too underpriced.
Oh, yeah.
So it's also determining. A lot of people have a big audience, don't realize the value of that audience. And I'm going to flip it to one of my clients, Kevin O'Leary from Shark Tank. So when I started working with him, he was just doing the typical social media. He was talking about the products he invested in on Shark Tank, what he was doing tomorrow, but none of his personality came through. And so we started filming him in his Bermuda shorts when he was doing an interview on Fox, or being silly behind the scenes with his guitar, and his audience exploded. His sales went up. We renegotiated his contract with Shark Tank. When you combine a marketing initiative to sell something high value and really let out who you are, I think that's really where social media works, because people get to know you and then see the value you bring and connect with the thing you're offering.
But how do you go? So that's with a sincere person who's likable, and maybe they are a good person. You like who they really are. How do you uncover people that are kind of a shitty person, but they're putting on a facade that they're a good person?
I mean, you can share how we actually filter them out ahead of time.
Don't do business with
them. The way we do marketing, we let them know who we are right away, about our faith, our values. And so if they're not comfortable in that environment, they're not a good fit.
Yeah, and I think that one of the secrets to achieving that sort of Gen Z overnight success, even though it's not overnight, we know, right? Most people are a 20, 25-year overnight success, is bringing authenticity. And like, even say it makes me cringe a little bit, that word authenticity, because like, well, what the hell does that mean? But ultimately, when you show up, which is the hardest thing to do for people, just to show up as they are, right? Because we feel that, and we all have
consistently
Yeah. Oh, well, that's the next big thing, right? You show up, fine. Anybody can show up for a week, anybody can show up for a month, but show up for a year, show up for 2 years, when you've gotten no's every single day, then I'll show you a successful person if they keep showing up. So when you actually show up as you are with your message, as we do intentionally, to be entertaining, to be fun, to be silly, to talk about our faith, to just use jazz hands whenever possible, we're actually, it is a truly thing. It attracts your right fit person.
Yeah.
So more often than not, we're actually repelling the assholes who are like, I never do that. You know, those guys, like, they don't even come into our world because they are disgusted by what they see in us. And yet we are unbelievably attractive and have so much fun with the people who come in who are like, yeah, I want to have fun. I want to get on a stage. I want to create an experience. Oh, yeah. How do you do that? And how do we have that kind of energy? So like attracts like. And what we love to preach to our people is build the business that you want to have. Mm-hmm. There's nothing worse than getting up and wishing you could fire yourself from your own company.
Yeah.
And so we do that intentionally. And to your point, we bring in people who have that intention more often than not. And then guess what? When they show up and they're assholes, we ask them politely to leave.
Right.
We'll refund them, because we value our energy, our time, more than we value a little bit of somebody else's money.
And your own, and your reputation.
Absolutely.
You need to preserve your brand.
We literally start all of our virtual events with a silly skit on purpose.
Yeah.
Because people who love us and want, are a good fit for our community, enjoy it. They want to be there. The people who don't get really irritated, say, when are you getting to your content? We're like, we're so glad you came. We'd love for you to leave now. Like, you can filter out
let
quickly.
The door hit you.
Yeah.
In my book, Don't Do Business with Dicks, talking about the speed of enlightenment when it comes to misalignment of values. And one of the caveats that people have to know is there are mechanisms to speed up, but there is also the reality that time, emotion, and value changes within the context of relationships. And so, you know, really good people in my life that become desperate do really bad things.
Mm.
And a lot of people mistake that for them being bad people.
Right.
And I won't. Doesn't mean I won't allow them to fall away or fire them now that I understand that. But I do want to elevate the awareness that there are mechanisms that speed up the process. But, you know, whether it's Clinton, Justice, Sharon, or I, we wish we could, you know, instantly know this is not a good person for me. Some people are better than others. And we do attract things to learn from them. Go ahead.
What is that? I just want to ask you a question.
Yeah, sure.
What is that? One of the biggest levers, one of the biggest mechanisms that you can speed up that will reveal that?
Giving back. So since Lee Steinberg, one of the requirements that helped us find the right people mm-hmm. was to go ahead and have them, when they work with us, donate a percentage back mm-hmm. to the charity or cause of their choice. And it's immediate qualifier, because if they don't get it, I don't want you, because my neighborhood's based on people that want to help each other and know people that help each other
yeah.
And finding people in both helping other people, but also asking for help. And so the more I can get to, what are you doing to provide value to the mm-hmm. community more than what can I do for you
yeah.
mm-hmm. is a faster qualifier, but people change and there's isolated incidents and there's so many variables. It is to me, it's the purpose of my book is to help people create a greater environment and still be forgiving when we do surround ourselves with the wrong people and the wrong idea
yeah.
and shorten the distance of resistance and the time that it takes to figure it out. And there's also one component, and we'll finish up. I think it's important that, like, if you're in business, sometimes you have, we're built to survive. Human beings aren't built for happiness. And sometimes you have to make a choice. I need to do this to survive for the greater good of my business being in business. So I'm going to take the money from this asshole, or I'm going to work with this idiot
yeah.
because it's a matter of my business will not survive. I respect anyone that chooses not to survive. Hmm. I'm not sure I'm that guy yet, but I'm not in that position anymore. I can afford to do business with who I want, when I want, for as long as I
yeah.
want.
Yeah.
But I earned that. I'm 57 years old and I lost over $100 million and it took me another 19 years to get to where I am today. That is not an overnight lesson or success.
Yeah, sure.
And so I just want to encourage people to find people like this to help expedite the dummy tax that we're all paying when it comes yeah. to finding the right people. Justin, Kim, I'm blessed to have you in our community, blessed to have you on our show.
Thanks.
I know we're going to do a lot more, and hopefully you'll help all my friends as well. You guys are incredible.
Yeah,
thanks
you're
for
fabulous.
Joining us.
Thanks yeah. for
Let's
having
give
us.
A big round
Thank
of applause.
You so much.
Finally, we're
jazz hands.
There we go.
Jazz hands. I was going to say, I don't know that I've ever done this on camera. I better start doing it. I need to get in the club.
We'll do it. We'll cheerlead for the Rams here on Office Hours.